Now we come to the feature article. This is track 12. We have two short articles for you today, both from last week's edition of the Mid-Devon Advertiser. The first is an article which is part of the Nature Diary series by Flora von S, entitled Young Hearts and Curious Mind, and it's about Loddy's Well's first Bugs, Moths and Other Beasties Family Day, and this will be read by Lorna. The second article is from a report of a talk given to Tynmouth Ladies Probus Club. We don't normally report on this, but I thought this was quite interesting, and it's about Tynmouth Hospital, 1834 to 2022, and it will be read by Jill.
What can be better than sharing your wonder and enthusiasm for nature with a keen and curious group of children? Not much, except doing it on a perfect sunny spring day. It was wild about Loddy's Well's very first Bugs, Moths and Other Beasties Family Day, and I was ready and excited. 9:45 a.m. and suddenly the parish church entrance was crammed with children, adults, buggies and a baby. After finding out everyone's names, I asked the youngsters to remind their grown-ups about how to stay safe in the countryside. And then we were off. 16 children plus mums, dads and grannies, sandwiched between WAL leaders Liz Montague, Phil Camellio and Sarah Butler in their high-vis jackets, made their way through the village and along to Ham Farm Orchard for the first moth trap reveal of the year. In 2024, a successful grant bid to the Wild About Devon Fund enabled us to purchase a splendid moth trap which could be run off a car battery, making it much more versatile to set up in suitable locations. However, on the day before our event, a brisk easterly breeze posed a challenge. Thankfully, as the evening light dwindled, Phil, Liz and I discovered a high spot against an orchard hedge where there was a shelter. We hung the moth trap in a nearby tree, conveniently protected with a tree guard, keeping it above the reach of grazing sheep. Illuminated with its eerie ultraviolet glow, we left the trap to the mysteries of night, wondering what morning would reveal. Unzipping the trap and carefully extracting the egg box cartons inside, we added small Quaker, common Quaker and knotgrass to our moth list. The children fascinated to see each different species. Finally, we gathered along the hedgerow and carefully released our captives. Then it was off to Ham Farmhouse, where owners and great WAL supporters Pete and Carl had refreshments waiting for us in the garden. This was definitely a highlight of the morning, with home-pressed apple juice, Pete's delicious cakes, and some perfect grassy slopes for the children to roll down and play on. Refreshed and regrouped, we carried on our invertebrate hunt, with a sheet stretched out below a bush or a small tree, and the branches above being given a series of sharp blows with a stick. A few small spiders, ants, flies, and one green caterpillar were found. Not much, but to be expected as it is still early in the year, which is why we plan to run more of these events, one midsummer and another in autumn. As the morning session ended, it was brilliant to hear the enthusiasm in both children and adults to join us again. Birthday parties, sports clubs and other commitments meant that our afternoon session was quieter with just 5 children. However, attracted by the generous support of the parish church providing more delicious refreshments, we had quite a few more adults enjoying the warm sunshine outside and wildlife displays inside. Our final session was to create places of shelter and refreshment for wildlife, so together we filled a shallow dish with pebbles and water, placing it outside the church for bees and other insects. filled some terracotta flower pots with dry moss and semi-buried them on the sunny side of a tree stump in the churchyard, and finally tied together bundles of bamboo lengths to take home to their gardens for mason bees to make homes inside. Happy children, happy leaders, a good wildlife-focused community day all round.
And now an article from a meeting of the Tynmouth Ladies Probus Club. Mrs. Pauline Dean was the guest speaker at the monthly meeting, and the topic was Tynmouth Hospitals from 1834 to 2022. Her talk began with the decision of the council dignitaries and influential people in the town for the urgent need to have a hospital to serve the local people and the surrounding areas. In 1882, there'd been an outbreak of cholera, which had caused the death of 400 townspeople, and a subsequent outbreak of scarlet fever caused panic. Other worrying statistics showed that 1 in 23 infants born failed to reach the age of 5. Tynmouth Board of Health was aware of the problems and awarded £20 to whitewash and cleanse the houses of the poor in order to contain and eliminate any further outbreaks of disease. With the arrival of the railway in 1846, Tynmouth became more accessible and tourism increased. And in 1848, Tynmouth Infirmary was founded. Over the years, the name and location of the hospital was changed. But the sad fact was that if you had money, you could be treated by a doctor. But if you were poor and not in good employment, then you didn't visit the doctor and as a result could die of an illness that could have been treated. The advent of the First World War in 1914 saw an increase in staff at the hospital. An additional hut with beds in the grounds of Bitton Park and many large houses in the area becoming convalescent homes for wounded officers. By the outbreak of World War II in 1939, the newly built hospital in Mill Lane and nurses' home was completed. But the well-documented bombing of Tynmouth in May 1941 caused considerable damage to both. But the hospital was rebuilt and the League of Friends founded in 1954 by public meeting to provide funds to the NHS to support the hospital. Since its establishment, the League of Friends has donated over £2 million and is still very active today.